No Shame in the Home Game, the podcast that cares how your home feels, not looks. I'm Lacey, and I'm the more awake one of the two of us, which I feel like is not usual, here with my co-host, Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Lacey. Yes, this is real-time live updates of me and Lacey's relationship. She is getting to see the natural Sarah. No shame. This is me rolled out of bed. I haven't done anything. I haven't even washed my face yet. I am honestly, this feels like TMI. I'm wearing my pajamas.
Heck yeah, you are. Yeah.
I got home. It was a very long travel day yesterday. Flight got delayed, got home very late. And I was like, I gotta just embrace this no shame. And I was like, okay, no shame. I'm in my slippers. I'm in my pajamas.
Yes, that's what we like to see, Sarah. No shame at all. I like sleepy Sarah. So that's just fine with me. I am so excited for today's episode for everyone to meet Tyra because Sarah and I have fallen in love with her.
This is going to sound so ridiculous. So I was traveling yesterday. We had this really long layover in an airport. And something in me was like, I wonder if Tyra's here. We've never met in real life. But I was like, oh, maybe the magic of the universe will put Tyra on my long layover. And I kept looking for her, secretly hoping that she would just like appear in the crowd. And I would be like, oh my gosh, Tyra in real life.
Because she would be sunshine to make it better. I completely agree.
You know what's so funny? I was smiling just imagining if she was there. I was like, oh my gosh, it would feel so good to get a real hug from Tyra. Okay, I'm borderline stalking, I think. Maybe. I'm just wishing for her. I'm not showing up on her doorstep. I'm just wishing for her to appear in the path of my life.
And I get it because she is a delight. And I really love that her story is very different than anyone we've done so far. A lot of our participants up to this point have been, they have kids currently and they're figuring out their home. And for Tyra, she's retired from being a homeschool teacher with her two boys, and she's moving into this next phase of her life. And I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I want you and your friends to listen to Tyra's episodes because I feel like you would see yourself in it.
Oh, it was so powerful. I'm actually tearing up just thinking about it because the way we were able to help her is the reason I do this work.
Yeah.
To see the shame and the heaviness that she was carrying. She did amazing, beautiful work. And for her to walk around with shame, it's the opposite. She should be celebrating her accomplishments. Great. And so to guide her to a different mindset and to be able to frame her home differently, that's what we want for everybody. Just 1% happier. Just 1%. And I think Tyra maybe got more than 1% happier. I really think she did.
I think so too. All right. Let's take a look or listen. Whatever. We're going to listen to part one of Tyra's story. We think you're going to love her as much as we do. Welcome to No Shame in the Home Game. I'm Lacey. We are here with one of our participants for season two, and we're really excited to get started. But I'm going to toss it over to Sarah, because she's our lady in charge.
Ooh, lady in charge. I've never had that title before. I'm going to try that one on today. So, yes, very excited. Season two, we have our third participant for this season, Miss Tyra, who I met through Becky Mollenkamp. That's our mutual connection. So this is actually our first time meeting. And I am just, as always, so thankful that guests are willing to come on, share where they are, share their journey, and be willing to be vulnerable in that space to help others. So thank you first and foremost. And then Tyra, if you'd like to share just a little bit about who you are, where you are, and then about your house, just who lives in your house, just a brief overview. I don't need to know like what color the paint is, but just, is it an apartment? Is it a townhouse? Yeah. Whatever you can share so I can get a feeling.
Yes. Again, my name is Tyra, and I am a retired homeschooler. I'll start off with that because that's a large part of why I'm here today. I homeschooled my kids from K through 12, and It's been almost 3 years now that I became a retired homeschooler. And I decided I wanted to pursue my dream of being an online business owner. And so I am a coach also. I also work for a nonprofit. I've been working for this nonprofit for the last 13, almost 14 years. And now as a social media manager, but I have been previously a performer, African dancer, and a fitness instructor. And I live with my husband, Craig. This year we will be married 30 years. And we live in a small house in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville.
So, and the homeschooling, how many people did you homeschool? How many years did you homeschool? I have so many questions, first of all, but we're not going to get to all my questions. Yes. You just opened up this whole plethora of, ooh, that's interesting. But I'm going to try to keep it on topic of no shame in the home game. Tell me about the homeschooling. Did you do it in the house that you're in right now?
Yes, I did.
How many years was that?
Yes, I was a stay-at-home mom also. I started staying at home in 2000. Yeah, we'll just say 2000 because I started working part-time. I have been working full-time. I became a full-time stay-at-home mom in 2003 with the birth of my second son. So I have two sons. And first son born in 2000, second son born in 2003. So it was this slow progress into becoming a full-time stay-at-home mom. And I homeschooled my children starting in 2005 until 2021. So I started as a stay-at-home mom in a different house, but we've been in this house since 2005. This is primarily where my children were raised and where we homeschooled.
That's a lot of history. And what I love about this is when I come to work with people, there's often some sort of transition, either moving into a new house, getting ready to move out of a house. And so what I'm hearing is you've got this transition point of you were homeschooling for a long time and now you've got new endeavors. And so you're still surrounded by the history of what you were doing for so long. And you were saying you're just living with your husband now, so your boys are out of the house?
My older son doesn't come, he lives away. He's gone. He's in the Coast Guard. And so that's his life now, even though his life is still here. This is why I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to, the way you said that, I still have the history of homeschooling and stay-at-home mom right here in this house. My younger son still does come home a little bit because he's still in college. Yeah. I still have to deal with him coming home. I love him coming home, don't get me wrong, but we're talking about the house part. And so, yeah. But he's not here a lot, fortunately. So, okay. When I said fortunately, it's about the house. I do miss my kids a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no, absolutely. And so your husband, is he still working as well or is he home more? I'm just trying to figure out traffic patterns of the house. Yeah.
Well, such a good question. So my husband used to work 5 days out of the week outside of the home. And then the pandemic hit and he worked from home for a couple of years. And in this last maybe 6 months or so, they started going back to work 3 days a week. So he's definitely home more now, which I'm happy. But he definitely is home 2 extra days out of the week that he wasn't here before.
The pandemic provided a lot of clarity to my work about how a home functions and the energy of people coming in and going back and the flows. So good to know about that. And with your work, are you doing it all from the home? Or are you traveling out and coming back as well?
Interesting that pattern changed also. Pre-pandemic, I was out in and out because I would teach fitness classes. But with the pandemic happening, I now work full-time from home.
Just briefly, because sometimes it helps me understand where people are coming from. In your home of origin, where you grew up, did you have a stay-at-home mom and did homeschooling as well? Or what was that like growing up? Is it similar? Is it different?
Very different. My mother worked. She was a nurse. So she had a full-time job. And my mother actually had a part-time job. at times, maybe not all the time, but I largely remember my mom having a part-time job. And she was a pretty neat person, but it was hard to be neat with, it was my dad and my two brothers. And my dad wasn't necessarily anti-messy, but I remember when I was getting married, a conversation that I had with myself was it didn't seem like my then fiance was very interested in cleaning up the house. It just didn't seem like anything. Some men do care. Some men don't. And he didn't seem that way. And I thought, oh, it's okay. My mother was the one that primarily took care of the house instead of my dad. So I do have a perception of her being someone who was, who really did value neatness. Because I remember as a girl, she would say, oh, you're not like your mama. You messy. She didn't really call me messy, but in essence, she told me how messy my room was. But when we would have guests come over, my mom and I were like the dynamic duo. If that house was messy, my mom and I would just work like a team and we would get the whole house clean. So that is a pattern that I have. I was listening to one of y'all's podcasts and it's the shame part for me is I will clean up when people come better than I will clean up for myself. But then it's what I was saying with my mom, when you live with other people who don't have that same value, it's hard to try to just keep the house clean. So I would say those are the greatest patterns that I picked up from my mother.
So what I heard is your mom was naturally the picker-upper. You didn't naturally do that, but when called upon, you know how to do it. And it now as an adult, what I'm hearing you say is, you like when things are picked up, when guests come and you really go at it. But what I hear you saying is it's a little exhausting day to day when you're basically taking on the role of your mom saying, okay, everybody, come on, let's rally, let's pick up. But it's exhausting when it's every day and the visions maybe don't line up.
I actually have evolved. Okay. I'm more like my mom now. I actually value a neat home. It being disheveled a little bit doesn't bother me. I don't feel like I need to be a neat freak with everybody, but I would prefer to have a neat and clean home. It makes me feel better. I feel like I function better. And yeah, I have become a mom. Where you hear the delay and me feeling like it's exhausting is nobody else has the same value. So I have the attitude of, why clean? If I clean and nobody else has the exact same value, then it just feels like I just did this work and it didn't really matter.
And I want to get really clear on that value. Value in that nobody is appreciating your hard work and or value that they're not also doing it. Is there a distinction or is it both?
Oh, I don't want to say they don't value. They don't really, they don't notice. I remember when my children were younger, I would clean. I would just sometimes go in their room and just say, I can't take it anymore. And if they were gone somewhere, I would just say, this is the day that I'm going to power through and I'm going to get this room neat and clean. And when they came back, they would be like, oh, okay. And I'm like, doesn't this feel better? And they're like, maybe. And even my husband, I'll clean up. And I'm like, did you notice? And he's like, oh, now that you pointed out, yeah, that looks good. So they don't not care. They just don't notice. But they don't actually, and I guess a part of that also is because they don't really care. Like I could be happy and never clean and it would be okay. Nobody would complain. No one would say, why is this house not clean? So they, when I say value, it's I value having a house that looks orderly and tidy and get rid of having a whole lot of stuff. And they, it's just something that's just not there for them.
Okay. And so now we're at a point where you said one son is pretty much, the older son is pretty much not living at the house and the younger son just comes home every now and then. So Luckily, not as many people to try to accommodate. Now, thinking about your house and the different spaces, can you tell me, like, is there the kitchen, dining room, family? Can you give me a rundown of all the spaces in the house?
Yes, we have the living room the living room, small. This house is very small. It's about 1,200 square feet. So very small living room, three bedrooms. Master bedroom is downstairs. Kitchen and eating area, it's all one area. And two bathrooms and a garage.
Is it a one-car or two-car garage?
One car.
And is there a car in there?
No.
And for the listener and for you, I never ask these questions because I'm doing some Zillow estimate in my head. It really is to get to where you want to go. All of this information.
Oh, I understand.
Helps. Yeah. And so anyone listening who's, boy, she's nosy. It really helps me picture load because I always talk about how items have weight, not just physical weight, but emotional weight. Like every time you're passing that garage and it doesn't have a car in it, you've done it so much, but you don't realize how much it's actually in your head. And so it's just important for me to visualize like, oh, are we really just talking about a couple of closets? It's like, no, you're telling me there's no car in the garage. And is there a basement or an attic that you're dealing with?
There's no basement, but the attic are two rooms off of my kids' rooms. It's upstairs, downstairs. There's two rooms upstairs.
Okay.
And so the room that my boys occupy, there's these two little doors and they go off into storage spaces off to the side. One is on the right side and then you go into their closet and there's another door that takes you into this little storage space that's actually right over the garage.
Okay. When you work at home, are you in an office space? Where are you working out of?
Yes, this is what is called my room. And anyone in the house will call this mama's room. And because my husband and I was like, I can't have my clothes and everything exactly where he is because we keep house differently. And I will need to be able to clean up and just have things look the way that I want. This room is where sometimes we used to homeschool. I exercise up here. Now it's pretty much my workspace. I have a desk. And whenever I work with clients or work for the nonprofit, it's in this room. It's like my office / relaxation room, just my space.
I've said this for a long time now, and I still feel this way. I feel like the perfect home setup is this mirrored where there's a common communal kitchen living room, but then we have like our separate, like kind of like what you're saying. If the husband wants to have his style over here, like you don't have to see it. Let him have his own bedroom, bathroom, everything, like laundry room. Yeah, I would love to be able to just be like, yeah, let's meet up for meals in this communal space. And then let's be able to go back to how we want to keep. Y'all, Home CEO is finally here. The work you hear me do with participants in No Shame in the Home Game is based off of the Home CEO course. Watch the course at your own pace and learn how to problem solve your pain points and find solutions that work for you. Along with the how-to course are guided worksheets. There are solutions for your situation. Sign up for the course at joyfulsupportmovement.com and start finding your solutions today. So I love that you've already claimed this office. And do you feel like you're keeping your office exactly how you want it to make you feel good? Have you gotten to that point?
It's not all the time. I do a pretty good job just because I consider myself to be a creative and if it gets way too messy. But also being an online business owner, it can be so easy to neglect. It can be very easy to neglect cleaning up. So, but for the most part, yes.
This is the part where I always like to validate people because I feel like we don't get enough validation in our lives, which is you've got this home you've lived in since, 2005? So we're coming up on, we're coming up on, 20 years. What a math. 20 years.
Yeah.
You raised two sons who are moved out, right? You and your husband are both still working. You still have, you're doing your own business, which Lacey and I are both entrepreneurs. That is 7 days a week. You never stop thinking about it. You also have this part-time job with a nonprofit. So let's just first validate how much you have going on.
Thank you.
And that's really honestly when I go to work with clients, the first step is always just let's honor how we got here, why we're here. And it not feeling good, I always say, is like a red flag. And it's red flag, it needs attention, but we don't have to keep feeling that red flag. Once we're like, okay, I've noted it. Now let's make a plan and do something. Because that, like I said, that emotional weight, it can keep dragging us down until we either solve it or come to peace with it, which I think, I feel like you've already come to peace with a lot of things. It sounds like you've already moved through a lot. And I love that you claimed this room for yourself. How does all of that feel to just honor, like, oh, I do have a lot going on in my life?
I'm glad that you said that because I do feel to a certain degree like a failure. It's like, why can't I get this together? Why can't I be so good at coaching or be so good at dancing or social media for the nonprofit, but I can't get my, and it's not hard. It's not like something that takes a lot of brain space. So to think about, especially the fact that I raised, not only raised, I stayed at home and I homeschooled two whole humans. Thank you for saying that. I feel a little emotional.
Because
I do feel so like, how have I gotten to this spot? But yeah, that feels good to do that.
I tried homeschooling my son for that pandemic year. And I waved the white flag and I told his teacher, I can't do this. I'm never going to. It's not in my style. So for you to say that you homeschooled your boy, like, I can't do that. And so the amount of energy and attention that took, mama needs a break.
Yeah.
You've done so much.
I really hadn't thought about that.
And this is why I started doing this work, because I was in so many people's homes and I heard women share with me this shame, this sense of failure. And everyone had it, but with something slightly different. And I was like this confidant, but yet I'm going, hey, everyone's feeling this way. And if we just talk about it, maybe it won't feel so shameful, because it's a lot of work. And take your time.
It's really helpful to hear this. So I hadn't thought about it like that. I really hadn't. Because it really was like to be so intensively focused on educating my children. And children are going to be children, whether they go to school or they're homeschooled. And so it's like dealing with all of their stuff, just kids' stuff or the special things that they needed. Like my first son was the one who wanted to do everything. He was extremely busy. There were days I had been driving so much to take him to Taekwondo that I was meaning to go to some other place, but I would drive just without thinking. I would just drive and I would be like, why am I at Taekwondo? And then my younger son struggled with reading, and homeschooling him sometimes is extremely challenging because he hated reading and it was just bringing a certain energy. And there were days I remember thinking like, how am I going to make it? I understand when people are like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't judge it because it is very challenging. And so the fact that I have accumulated so much of their stuff and didn't really have the space to like get rid of it, because there were days when it was like, all I can do is just focus on getting people to where they need to go, make sure they get school done, cook, and keep the place from being just like totally trashed. To actually purge, that was just not something. And when they were off on break, I didn't want to clean up. I didn't want to be purging because I wanted to rest. So this is, you're right. This is seeing it with a new way or in a new way is, I feel lighter already. Thank you.
You're so welcome. This is why I love this, because I needed to hear that. When I became a wife and a mom, and I was like, oh my gosh, nobody is giving me breathing space. There's never a time to catch your breath. There's always something to do. And it's just, oh my gosh, I also don't feel like I was trained to do this stuff. But yet we're expected to live up to this, I always call it the magazine standard, which is just a catch-all of, there's this weird expectation that somehow we're always ready for a magazine shoot to happen in our homes. And it's no, homes are for living and functioning. And you lived and functioned in your house. And now you're at a point where you're at a different stage and you have time to catch your breath and look around and go, this isn't working for me. Great. That's where we are. That's why we're here. And I'm so thankful that you're trusting me, and somebody else listening is resonating with this. I bet more than one person. I know I am. I know Lacey is. I know more people are going to resonate with this. So what we come to is, I have a very good feel of where you are. I want to get a little bit clear on where you want to go. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to achieve all of the where you want to go, but we're going to talk about where you want to go, and then we're going to find a path to start to get to maybe one of the mini goals that will come to where you want to go in the end. So when you visualize, what do you want the house to be, to feel, to look? What's the dream?
Okay. Dream? Oh, yeah. I don't even know if I have that. I would say right now, the dream for me would be to get rid of anything that isn't being used.
I hear you say breathing room is all of that. I hear you say, I want some breathing room. This is beautiful and this is great. And I just jotted down some directions. So I'm going to review what that looks like. The first thing is all these items you want to get rid of. That's so great. It sounds like you already have the fire to do it. Sometimes when I meet with clients, the first step is just getting comfortable with letting go. But I hear you saying you're ready to let go. Is that right? Okay, great. One is, you and I will figure out together the easiest way to get rid of items, whether it's donation, throwing away, selling. You and I will figure that out. The second would be for you and your husband to have a conversation about this, because if you, okay, so at least the schooling items, does he have feelings about you getting rid of?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. And it's one of those things sometimes where if we can work around the edges and our family starts to notice the change, they get the fuel and the momentum once you start. But sometimes we have to go for really like non-emotional, low-hanging fruit items. So I would say, if you know where you can start purging that's not going to ruffle any feathers, I would say just keep on keeping on there. And then I love the idea, like I said, the fuel. When I work with clients, there's always this really exciting part in the beginning and then becomes the boots on the ground. Oh, you're a coach. You know this. And then stuff gets tough. And that's when the energy dips. And I hear a beautiful vision, and I also hear there's a lot of weight, emotional weight, physical weight. There's a lot of action steps to take, right? So as much as you can, I would ask you to look at inspiration images, whether it's making some kind of Pinterest board, whether it's just journaling, getting really clear on where you're going. And you're a coach, you know all this. Get really clear. What's the lighting like? What does it smell like? Okay. Is there a smell? I don't know. Is there new artwork on the walls? Are you repainting a room? Really inspire yourself. Because what happens is we're in our homes. It doesn't feel good. It's weighing us down. And that's what causes us to just least action. We have to know this. It can feel this way. It can smell this way. It can look this way. But I need to know where I'm going, that I feel inspired to pick up these boxes that I don't want, to make the appointment to donate them. Because you're going to have to take steps outside of your normal everyday. And you're still working. You got your own business. You're working part-time. Your husband's working. You still have to do your day-to-day stuff. You're going to be adding in new chores. So if you are passionate about what you're doing with the vision, it'll really help with those steps, because it's going to seem laborious, right? At first, it's going to feel like a difference, and then it's going to feel like it's not going anywhere, but it still is. And then, and you know that too. You said you used to do exercise training with people, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? Oh, yeah. Isn't there always that, oh yeah, I'm going to do this new routine, and they're like all excited, and then about 4-6 weeks in, they're tired, they haven't seen the change in their bodies yet, they want to give up, but you know in just 2 or 3 mm-hmm. more weeks, they'll start to feel it. Yes.
Yeah. Very good analogy. Wow, that's good. That's helpful.
Oh, I'm the analogy queen. I actually see images. It's tough for me. I see images in my head, and then I have to find the words. So I'm always like, are you seeing what I'm describing in my head? I'm glad that one resonated. So we're going to figure out an easy way to get rid of items. And then I would ask for you to really start, like I said, with the low-hanging fruit, with the items you haven't touched. There's no emotions. There's no memories. If you pick something up and you start to hem and haw, you don't need to, because it sounds like you have plenty of items that you know you don't want. Yeah.
That is correct.
We will, or you will, get to a point where you are, oh, I'm not sure. What if? That day will come. But let's put those okay. items off to the, let's just, you can just earmark those items. I would say, and whatever is easiest for you, maybe it's putting a box, a cardboard box, in each room. Oh. Every time you walk in a room and your eye goes, don't need that, throw it in the box, throw it in the box. When that box gets full, mark it. And a lot of people want to sell their stuff, but the amount of energy and time it takes, you never get your money back. I shouldn't say never, mm-hmm. hardly. Unless it's a big ticket mm-hmm. item, you hardly get your money back. I really encourage people to donate, give away. So if that box is full, close the lid, take a Sharpie and say, donate books and paper goods. Just briefly label, okay. because if you donate, people want to know what's inside of it, like to a Goodwill or a Salvation Army. But if you can get some cardboard boxes, make sure you tape the bottom before you put them down, because when you go to pick it up, mm-hmm. it's going to be heavy. And every time yeah. you pick up a box and you feel that weight, you go, ah, I'm getting some more breathing space.
Ooh.
Right? Some people want to go in to the deep end, dive all the way in, and just go. But I find that people tend to lose their energy faster. So I always encourage, just put a box in the room, right? Just every time you walk in, just boom. To me, the smaller the step, the more likely it is to work.
Okay, I love that.
And I completely agree with what you're saying of, the kitchen should have kitchen items. The living room should have living room items. That step is farther down the road once you've lifted the okay. weight out of the house. Keep that in mind. And that's going to be, once you get down to the essentials and that, okay, these are the items I need to live. These are the items that support the feeling I want. Then okay. that's when you make up. That doesn't belong there. First, we have to lighten the load. How does that sound? I see you smiling. I see you nodding your head. I'm hoping this feels yeah. doable. Does it feel doable?
Yes, it all feels doable. And one of the things that you said that I hadn't figured out, because I have the boxes, but I was leaving them by the front door. So to put a box in each room is how I'm actually going to get this done. So that is ingenious.
This is for anyone listening who that resonated with. I actually keep a bag in my closet and my son's closet. And the second I go, I'm never wearing that again. It doesn't fit. The second I think that, I put it in the bag. It's done. I never have to have that thought again. And when that bag is full, I just tie it up and I donate it. And then once that box is full, move it to the front door. It's going mm-hmm. out of the house. You put it in the front of the garage. You put it where you move it out. Sometimes we have the tendency to just leave it to deal with it later. But once that box is full, get it one step closer to gone.
Good with that. I actually have a car where I can let down the back seats and I keep them flat.
Do you
just for that
reason. Do you drive by a place like a Goodwill or a Salvation Army? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Minutes from my house.
This is it. As soon as that box is full, put it in the car. Whenever you run an errand and you go by, c'est la vie. Somebody else can use this. I don't need it. It's not adding to my future. Okay. Yes. So I feel like we got to a really good point with steps. Do you have any questions about those steps, about lightening your load, getting clear on your vision? Those are pretty much it.
No questions. I didn't mention that part because I got so into the boxes. The vision, I do stay focused a lot on what I see now. And then it just feels, or even just thinking, I've tried this in the past and it doesn't seem like it's worked, but I'm going to definitely have the vision and remind myself of how much I'm going to have more breathing room. So that was very helpful also. But no, I think I'm ready.
I'm so excited. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I love that you are a coach and you've done the exercise because you know, you've worked with clients who said, I've tried everything. It's not going to work. And it's just, no, we just got to keep trying different solutions. And I know you're tired, mm-hmm. but that's why I do the work I do, because I'm here to say there is a solution and we will find it because you deserve, after all that time, you've already got mama's room.
I already got mama's room.
You just got to do it in a couple more spaces. I'm giving you permission. I'm giving you momentum. Oh, Tyra, I'm having a moment because I love the work that I do and I love helping people. And I can see that it's opened something inside of you. And
it really has.
This is the best part of my day. My day is good. I don't need to do anything else today.
What? That makes me feel good to hear.
Oh, we had a moment. Oh, this is so beautiful.
I really appreciate you because I went on vacation and then I came back home and I was just like, so to come in the day after coming in from vacation and talking to you and getting this kind of hope feels amazing.
Does it, Sarah, just make you want to take over the world?
Yes.
Well, and taking over the world, that's why Lacey and I are doing this podcast, because of the ripple. Because if you feel 5% better in your house, you're going to go out into the world with 5% more of your best self. Mm-mm. And then I truly believe this. And Lacey does too. At first I said I wanted like a 10% change. And I think Lacey said 2%. Oh, 1%. So if we can make 1%. Your house 1% and that 1% and that 1%. Like, this is how we make change, is with the smallest of steps. And I'm so thankful that you shared all of this with us. And I'm so excited. You and I will be in touch because I want to support you. And then the next time we meet, we're going to talk about what's working, what challenges came up, how are you feeling? Okay. And then we'll keep going. Does that sound good?
Okay. That sounds perfect. Oh, thank you
so much. Joy sharing is joy magnified. Let that joy ripple out into the world by sharing this podcast with a friend. If something made you laugh, smile, feel joy in any way, let a friend know today and spread all those good feels around.
Do you want to learn how to do joyful support in your own life? We have a course for you. Not only do we have it, but it's free. Because we want joyful support to change the world. It takes you through all the steps of joyful support, and then you can go out there and be part of the joyful support movement. Head to joyfulsupportmovement.com and sign up today.
Oh, everyone, I hope you enjoyed meeting Tyra as much as we did. So much more amazing goodness to come. And again, I like to try to remind people often is to really honor that Tyra opened up her home to us. And as you hear, she got really vulnerable. And I did ask her permission before we started putting these episodes out in the world. I said, hey, it got pretty emotional. Are you okay with with me publishing that because I said, I can actually edit that out. And she said, nope, she goes, that's what really happened. And I want to share it with others. And again, just the amazing power of Tyra that she just thought, yep, let's put that out there and help other people. So again, thank you to Tyra and all of our participants for showing what's really happening behind the front door in your home so that we can help other people.
We will get back to Tyra's story in a few weeks. Starting next week, we're going to hear episode 2 for each of our participants. And that's where we get into the nitty gritty of how it's going or not going or that stuff.
Whatever it is, there's no shame.
Nope, not at all. I think that you're all going to like it as much as we do. Now, Sleepy Sarah, what are you grateful for today with your moment of gratitude?
You're going to see Sleepy Sarah wake right up.
Oh.
I am so excited. So we were in a different town and there's this movie theater. It's a chain. It's called the Alamo. There's a few of them. Not where I... Oh, you know about
that? I've heard of it. And then I went to one in New York. They're not here where I am, but I am aware of them and I've been to one.
Okay, there's not one right where I live, so I had to go to a different state to go to one. And so exciting. I am such a sci-fi nerd. I'm a bird nerd. I'm a sci-fi nerd. I'm a systems streamlining nerd. We got to see Dune 2 in the theater. And then layer it on top of this amazing movie theater where you get these comfy chairs, you get these tables, you get to order this delicious food that comes right to you. The whole experience was amazing. And not only that, I got to see it with family who appreciated Dune as much as I do. Because, you know, some people could take or leave it.
I am one of those people.
And I am not going to tell you to feel otherwise because I know how that's going to go. But I was so in it. I was so in it. I think the movie, I don't know what the runtime was. We were in the theater for over 3 hours with the pre and the post. The time flew by in a flash. I was so embedded. And as soon as it was over, I was like, I'm seeing that again because it's just, there's so much goodness. I'm like, oh. So yeah. And there was this one scene. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but there was this one scene that I wasn't expecting. And I actually threw my arms up in the theater. I was like, I wasn't embarrassed at all. And then, oh, bonus gratitude. This Alamo Theater, everything in their decor has to do with movies.
Yeah.
It's really cool. The second you walk in, you feel like you're just, okay, I'm ready for a movie. When we were leaving, there was a 9-foot-tall replica of the Predator.
Oh.
So I got my niece to take a picture of me, and I'm hanging onto his arm, and I'm, like, smiling, and I, like, kicked my foot up so I look like I'm in love with the Predator. And I was like, this is amazing. So I've got a lot of gratitude around the movie theater.
Good.
And now I'm going to start a petition so that we can get one near me.
Yeah, I know that they're, yeah, I've heard of them. And like I said, when I visited my friend and she lived in New York, we went to one there in Brooklyn. And I'm like, I get it. Yeah, totally get it.
The way movies should be.
Yeah.
Like, totally.
Yes.
So that's my, I went long. That is mine. Lacey, what is your moment of gratitude?
You know, I've been over here like going around and around of what I can pick. And I am just going to pick, my daughter is 3, or she will be 3, I think on the day this episode comes out. So it'll be her birthday. But she lately is just killing me with her little voice saying the funniest things. And I just love it so much. Last night, so we read books in mommy daddy bed. That's what mommy daddy's bed. And we read books. And by read books, I found out the library, the Libby app specifically, or Hoopla, recommend both if you can get both from your library, have read-along books. And reading out loud is actually a very challenging thing for me when it comes to mental capacity because I'm reading and I'm speaking out loud, you know what I mean? We do these read-along books and I hold the iPad and we talk about it. So it's still interactive. And last night she and I were in the bed waiting for Isaac to get there. And I got up to do something. I came back and she was in my spot and she was like, I took your spot, mommy. And it was just, she's got just this high little voice. And I was like, what are you doing? So I just am really loving. Now, is she potty training and peeing more places than I would like? Yes. Is she a sassafras? Yes. But man, I'm really enjoying it. And just, yeah, I could listen to her little voice all day. And she does. She'll just lay down and talk for 10 minutes. Another thing, and then I'll stop talking about my kids. But so I have implemented, actually, because of this, in some ways, at the dinner table every day, I like us all to sit down together as a moment, us all together. And at the dinner table, we do a high and low. Is your high of your day? And then did you have a low of your day? Because it's both. We need to know about both. And Iris doesn't totally get it, but she sits down and when it's time, she's, my high is, and it's usually her teacher, Miss Jen. And then my low is, and then it's usually one of the other kids in her class that she has got this frenemies relationship. And it's just so funny. And one, was it a different day we were sitting down to lunch and she was like, high and low. And I'm like, no, we do that at dinner at the end of the day. But I'm so glad that you are here and you're ready for it.
Oh, I love that. I love when kids start showing their unique personality. And you get to see that, oh, okay, this is their personality. It's so fun.
It's so fun. And I am so excited because she loves to do a callback already to a previous thing that we all found funny. Yeah. So one of the things, this is, for some reason, at some point, Joe came into a bathroom and was like, excuse me, are you pooping? And he like did it in this silly voice. And so now every once in a while, Iris will just be like, excuse me, are you pooping, out of nowhere? And the first time I didn't know about it. So I'm like, are you pooping? I was like, get up, go to the bathroom. And then Joe was like, oh, I think I know what this is. But now she'll like do it as a callback, as an inside joke. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. I love this.
That's varsity.
I know.
For not even 3 year old,
I know,
to do a comedic callback.
Yeah. I look forward to what my house is going to look like as they grow because, yeah.
That is so great. Oh, I love that for you and your household. That's amazing.
Me too. Yeah, because 90% of our jokes right now are fart jokes because of Joe, but all of the age of my children. And I think my favorite part is that Iris, anytime someone's, who farted, she always is, I did it. And she uses it like as a joke. And I just, it's solid. She's so on it. And I cannot wait to see how this evolves going forward.
There's a little sliver of me that goes, ooh, does that mean she's going to be the class clown and you're going to be getting a lot of phone calls from the teacher?
Maybe. Maybe.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
That it'll be worth it. You'll go, what was the joke? And the teacher will tell you and you'll go, worth it.
Yeah. Solid. No, I get it.
Yeah, I approve.
Yeah. We'll talk about appropriateness and timing, but the joke itself, clean and solid. We like it.
Oh my gosh. I love this. Oh my gosh. I've had a week without Lacey and it's so good to have you back, Lacey. Or you didn't go anywhere.
I didn't go anywhere.
It's so good to have you.
And I was trying so hard to make sure I wanted Sarah to have time off and space. And so I did. I was trying to not, I don't want to say bother you, but I didn't want you to feel like you had to do anything work-wise.
Yeah. And what's funny is I didn't really look at this experience as a relaxing trip. Because it's family. So it feels a little bit more like duty.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. But then once I got there and I was not in my own house and I woke up and I was like, oh. I don't have any chores to do here. And I didn't plan on doing any work. And it was like, oh, my brain was just like, you've got nothing to do, man. And I was like, cool. This is. So I realized I need that decompression time. Everybody does. But I realized I had to leave my house to get it. And yeah, it felt really good. Yeah. So that was a surprisingly relaxing trip. And then. Hello. We all need that. So this is, I just want to remember, so this was episode 1 of Tyra. So next week will be episode 2 of Ashley, right?
Yep.
Okay. That's where we are.
That is where we are.
And I am so thankful for season 2, and I'm so thankful for Lacey. And thank you for everything, Lacey.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for listening to No Shame in the Home Game. We hope you can take a little nugget to use in your own home. Remember to subscribe to the podcast in your player of choice like us on social media, rate and review, and share with all of your friends. You can always visit joyfulsupportmovement.com to learn more about No Shame in the Home Game and the other Joyful Support podcasts. While you're there, you can join the newsletter or sign up for the Joyful Support Village. Now go out there and spread joy.